Welcome back. Welcome to Module 2 of the Hypnotic Pickup Method, How to Pick Up Women. And what we're going to look at in Module 2 is getting a date and the first date. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, your tour guide, as we learn how to pick up women, something that maybe has eluded you in the past, and it's going to become so easy for you. After you set a firm foundation in the first three modules, then the next three are going to teach you hypnotic techniques for getting what you want. But you have to clean your own house first. You have to take a look inside, figure out what it is about yourself that you can change, and then we can add some techniques to that. So, did you do your homework? Did you do your homework for Module 1? If not, stop this recording right now and do it. And it was just to meditate on those lists, the lists that you made. So, if you've done it, then let's move forward. Looking at getting a date and the first date. Well, first of all, you want to be very mindful of first impressions. First impressions are very important. You get one chance to make a first impression, as they say, and it is very important. People size you up by the way you present yourself the first time. It's really difficult to change what people think about you after they've met you the first time. You're going to have to use some hypnosis on them, make them forget what they saw if you want to change their first impression. But we don't want to have to get into that. We just want you to make a first impression that's great and lasting and wonderful and powerful. So what are they going to see? What's that woman going to see when she first sees you? She's going to see what she can see. She's going to see the way you look. So how can you improve your appearance? You know, you may be one of those people who thinks, well, it doesn't matter how I look. I'm God's gift to women, and that's just the way it is, and I'm me. And if that's your attitude, and if you can pull that off, more power to you. If that's not your attitude, or if you realize some potential shortcomings in that line of thinking, then I invite you to take a look in the mirror and look at certain things. For example, your hair. Take a look at that. Would a woman be attracted to that? Now, if you are like me, then a lot of these things, they just don't make any sense to you. You have to have a woman tell you these things. That's the way I am. I find it difficult to match a tie to a shirt. I don't think I'm colorblind, but I really don't understand how colors match. When I wear a tie, I have to ask a woman what colors match with the other colors, because the system doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe I wasn't born to wear ties. I don't know. And luckily, I don't have to wear them very often anymore. But if you're one of those people who's like me, then you should probably go to a woman and say, hey, what hairstyle looks good on me? Or what are some grooming tips you can give me? And ask this woman to be very honest with you. Make sure she's going to be very honest and open with you. But maybe you can pull this off yourself. Maybe you can just take a look now in the mirror and decide these things for yourself. Look at your grooming. How are you groomed or not groomed? Is it working for you? How about your teeth? Do you brush them? Are they clean? Are they yellow? You know, one time I thought that I had the most perfect teeth in the world, and I went to the dentist and I said, do you think my teeth need whitening? And he said, well, the whitener responds best to your particular shade of yellow. And I thought, what, my particular shade of yellow? I thought my teeth were white. I didn't realize that over the years of drinking coffee every now and then and teas and so forth, that my teeth were not exactly white anymore. So I now have a professional whitening kit from a dentist. I can whiten my teeth with professional quality bleach. I guess that's what it is, bleach, but they now have lasers and so forth. I have a friend in Beverly Hills who's a dentist, and he has laser whitening. And I think laser whitening is now available in the malls. I think you can walk into any mall and get laser whitening while you just sit there. So there's no excuse for teeth that aren't at least the right color, the color that would attract a woman. So take care of that. If there's some kind of dental work you need, go ahead and get that done. If there's a cleaning you need or a whitening, go ahead and get that done. There are no points awarded for yellowish teeth in a woman's mind. Don't fool yourself. Go ahead and get that taken care of. Skin. Is your skin the best it can be? You know, a lot of people think that skincare has to do with grooming and washing and putting on moisturizer and wearing sunblock, and that's a lot of it. But when I had my office in Beverly Hills, when I was the, quote, hypnotist to the stars, and I was working with the writer of Superman and the writer of The Love Boat and all these famous, wonderful people, I would take a walk around the block every now and then. And my block was full of plastic surgeons and, you know, really cool people who are at the top of their game. Some of them are the best in the world. And I'd go walk around and I'd find some very interesting people. I found one of the top nutritionists in the world, a medical doctor who also worked with celebrities on their skincare. And I asked him, what's the most important thing about having good-looking skin? And the answer actually shocked me. I thought it would be, you know, maybe staying out of the sun or moisturizing every night or something like that. And it wasn't any of those things. He said nutrition. Everybody thinks that medical doctors don't know anything about nutrition. Everybody thinks that medical doctors are trained to just give a bunch of drugs. And here was a medical doctor, one of the top dermatologists in the world who worked with celebrities, telling me that nutrition is the number one important thing when it comes to your skin looking good and radiant and vibrant and young and healthy. What does that mean, nutrition? Well, it means eating fruits and vegetables every day, 5 servings of fruits, 5 servings of vegetables. What's a serving? It's what you can hold in your hand. It means avoiding fatty foods. It means drinking plenty of water. What's plenty of water? About 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day is what I have, and that seems to be the average, what people are recommending. Drink plenty of water. If you live somewhere where you are going to dry out, like California, where I lived for a while, which is basically the Mojave Desert, they've just built buildings there and brought in some plants that aren't indigenous, but it's basically a desert, and you will dry out pretty easily. You may need to drink some more water if you're there. If you're in Cancun, Mexico, where I was recently, you may find yourself, if you're there in the summertime, drinking a lot of water. So you may need to make adjustments depending on where you live so that your skin doesn't dry out, so that your body remains healthy. Your skin is your body's largest organ. It's just an organ, like your heart or your liver or your spleen. The skin is an organ. You've got to treat it like that. You've got to realize that it needs proper care. People worry about heart care and liver care, you know, not drinking too much and not eating fatty foods and so forth. But your skin is an organ too, and it needs to be cared for. The way you care for it is, again, by avoiding fatty foods, by eating plenty of fruits and vegetables, by having a balanced diet. Of course, you can eat quote-unquote junk food every now and then. Just make sure it's every now and then and not every day or not all day. And really start paying attention to what you eat. So skin can be easily taken care of. And if you have some kind of condition, go to a doctor. Take care of it. Start getting proactive in these things. What about smells? Is there a smell that you give off? Do you need to use more deodorant? Maybe you're not even aware of it. Talk to someone who's going to give you the truth. What about clothing? What about clothing? As I've said, I am notorious for not being able to match a tie to a shirt. I don't know much about clothing. I also am completely oblivious to current clothing trends. I don't know if tight jeans look good. I don't know if straight leg jeans look good or bell-bottom jeans. I don't know what's in or what's coming back in or what's been in. I don't know if boots make sense or if tight shirts or loose shirts or baggy pants make sense. I don't know any of that. But guess what? I don't have to know it because I can ask a woman. I can go to a clothing store and ask a woman, what looks good? So when you look at yourself in the mirror, realize you may have to make some changes and realize you may have to go to a woman to ask her, and that's fine. What about posture? First appearance is what we're talking about here. Your posture makes a big difference. You need to make sure you're standing up straight and sitting up straight. You can slouch later on when you've gotten to know the person. You can relax a little bit more. But initially, they want to see someone who's not uptight, not really, really rigid, but someone who's standing up big and tall because they believe in themselves. That's what a woman wants to see, someone who believes. They also want to see someone who, when they're sitting, is sitting up tall. So, practice your posture. Work on your posture. Your posture, the straightness of your spine shows the quality of the strength that you have, the belief in yourself. Someone who lacks backbone, as they say, is going to be slouched over. Oh, I don't know. I just feel kind of so-so. I'm going to kind of slouch over and relax. Well, that's fine if you don't want to make a powerful impression, but if you do, then straighten that backbone and sit up nice and tall and stand nice and tall and realize that you show the way you believe in yourself by how straight your backbone is. That's where I got that phrase from, they have no backbone. A woman wants to see someone with backbone, so show that. Work on your posture. It doesn't matter how tall or how not tall you are when I say stand up or sit up big and tall. Just you're tall, the full length of your body. Let's see it. Let's see what you've got. Be proud of yourself. Be proud of who you are. Realize that changing your physical appearance does not change you. Now, I don't want you to start dressing like a clown if you're a businessman or a businessman if you're a clown. Be the best you can be. If you're a hippie, then be a clean, neat hippie who's got good hygiene and is the best hippie you can be. That's fine to be a hippie. But it carries with it some responsibility. Be a good example of a hippie. If you're a business person, don't be some stuffed shirt, uptight business person. It's not what a woman wants to see. No, they want to see the person who's relaxed in a suit, just like they would be relaxed when they're wearing shorts and playing volleyball or something like that. That doesn't mean you're slouching when you're dressed up. It means you're comfortable with the business attire that you're wearing. Okay, so as you go into the first date, I want you to carry with you positive feelings. I want you to fire off your anchor of power, and I want you to imagine hitting it off with her. Imagine before you even go into the date having a conversation where everything just flows easily. Imagine that both of you have a lot to talk about and you have similar interests. Now, it may not go that way, who knows? But at least if you imagine it beforehand, you'll have a much better chance of making it work that way. Imagine both of you wanting to see more of each other. Imagine that before you even go into the date. And this ties into the law of attraction. You get what you want by focusing on what you want, not by focusing on what you don't want, by focusing on what you want. So imagine meeting, hitting it off, everything going well as possible. Okay, so we're talking about this first date, getting the first date and the date itself. Now, chances are you don't even have the first date yet. So here I am telling you this information already, and you're thinking, wait, hold on there, Steve. I don't have the first date. How do I, you know, get this first date? I can't just add water to something and have the first date materialize. Well, it's almost as simple as that because they've already materialized. You just have to show up and see them. So what I want you to do is join some groups. Join an outdoors group. Go to local parks. Start playing on a softball team or a soccer team or a tennis league, anywhere that women would show up. Now, if you join a football team, not a professional football team, maybe, I don't know, but if you join a football team or something that women maybe wouldn't gravitate toward, like American football, for example, very few women play American football, and that's okay, but they sometimes like to go watch, and so don't rule that out. Or perhaps you'll be playing football with a buddy who's got a sister who's just interested in meeting someone just like you. Realize that your contacts with women may come from sources that you don't suspect, sources that you haven't even looked at. So it is important when you hang out with people to present yourself in the most positive light. If you're hanging out with your football buddies and saying what you like to do to women, which is somewhat immoral, and you're sharing all these things and you think you're being really cool, well, guess what? Joe, who was going to introduce you to his sister, is no longer going to introduce you to his sister. He may laugh with you and think that's really funny what you're saying, but at the same time he's thinking, there is no way in the world that I'm ever going to let this person meet my sister. So you need to realize that putting your best foot forward is important in every situation. What about going to wine tastings? That's something that women love to go to, wine tasting. What about religion? What is your religion? Are you involved with your church or mosque or synagogue? Are you involved with your religion? If not, why not? It's a potential place to meet women. What about going on a mission trip, going to help out someone? if you're going to go help out, you are potentially going to meet women. If not, you're at least going to have a nice story to tell about how you helped out, and then you're going to raise your perceived value in the woman's mind. You're going to have something to talk about the next time you talk to a woman. What about joining a book club? Now, some of these things you don't have to do, of course. If you can't imagine yourself sitting in a book club where you talk about books, if it just seems like the most boring thing in the world to you, then by all means, don't do it. I joined a book club it's actually a writer's club, just to get some knowledge about publishing my books and getting them out there more. And I can tell you that unless you're in an advanced age group, you may find yourself not really in the company that you're seeking if you're looking for dating younger women, like around 30 or so. But at the same time, you need to make sure that you don't overlook the possibilities, because if you are in the dating realm and if you are interested in dating and you're at that club and the women are all older than you, much older, and the men are all much older than you, you may think these people are not in touch with the people that I'm interested in meeting, the women in my age group, but they may have sons or daughters or even grandchildren who are your age. So don't overlook anything. Getting out there, being social, is never a bad thing. So if you can tolerate being in a book club, go to a book club, even if your dream woman isn't there. Music, go to places where local bands are playing. Concerts, go to concerts. What about websites? Look into websites. Groups are forming all the time. As I record this, there are several places on the internet to find women. There are meetup clubs, as they call them. There are websites such as Craigslist. There's also Facebook. Now, who knows what will be around by the time you listen to this or how they will have evolved, but there's probably always going to be something online that you can find. And if the internet morphs into something different than the current version of the internet that's available at the time that you're listening to this recording, will be available and will lead you to a meeting where there will be women. Volunteer for your favorite cause. What are you passionate about? Nothing? That's fine. Volunteer for something. You're passionate about dogs? Fine. Volunteer to rescue dogs. You're passionate about building houses for poor people and you have some skills? Fine. Volunteer to build houses for poor people. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't even matter if you're interested in it. Just get out and start doing things. You will find that your passions will emerge as you expose yourself to more things. Here are some common mistakes that you can make when you start to venture out into the dating world. Now remember, I'm telling you these things so that you can tap into the fact that this is a numbers game. You need to increase the exposure that you have to women because you need to have a lot of tries up at bat. You know, a batter gets up in a baseball game and he tries, and sometimes he'll strike out. Sometimes he'll hit a home run. Who knows? You've got to have a lot of tries up at bat. And the way you do that is to put yourself in the presence of women. Here's a common mistake. Going to places that have a lot of men. You're interested in attracting women, yet you're going to this bar where there are a bunch of men hanging around and one woman walks in and they all attack the one woman. Okay, your odds go down significantly. Even with conversational hypnosis or this dating program, even if you have certain skills, there are just a lot of guys there talking. Why would you put yourself into that situation? Why not go to places that have a lot of women? Another mistake, being shy. Don't be shy. Introduce yourself and be relaxed. All you have to do is say hi. That's all you have to do. That starts everything. Get used to saying hi. Another potential mistake, secluding yourself. Don't seclude yourself. Make contact with every woman you meet. Every woman is a possibility. If a woman walks by you on the street and smiles at you, at least say hi, if not something else. Now, as we get more into the hypnosis part of this program, you're going to know what to say and how to say it. But for now, suffice it to say that you should say hi. If you let that opportunity go, you have let one more opportunity go. You need to get into the habit of taking opportunities opportunities present themselves for a reason. They also present themselves in a very limited period of time. That opportunity where you're walking by that woman and she's smiling at you, that exists for a few seconds in all of history. You may never, ever walk by that woman and have her smile at you again. That is an opportunity. You may be thinking during that opportunity, oh my goodness, what do I say? Open your mouth and say hi. That's all you have to do for now. Eventually, I'm going to take you beyond saying hi when we get into modules 4, 5, and 6. But for right now, get into the habit of saying hi. Make that your homework project. Make that one of the things you're going to do for homework. The next 10 women you meet between now and the time you listen to the next module, unless you jump right into it, but the next 10 women you meet, just say hi to them. Just say hi. It doesn't matter if you think they're married or anything. All you're saying is hi. You're not saying, will you marry me or will you go on a date with me? You're just saying hi. And while you say it, smile. Okay, another common mistake, letting negative thoughts control your actions. If you're thinking about all the past failures you've had or all the strikeouts you've had in the past or all of the opportunities that you never turned into anything in the past, and you don't say hi because of that, you're letting your negative thoughts control your actions. You're letting the past shut your mouth. There's a hand from the past reaching into the present and covering your mouth. Think of it like that. How weird is that? Does that hand exist? No. It's in your mind. Open your mouth and say hi. Don't let negative thoughts control your actions. Okay, so let's talk about other places to meet a mate. Maybe someone who's more suited to you than the average woman. Well, how about taking a class? You know, even if you're not, quote, college age, there are courses that you can take. And if you take those courses and other people are taking them, chances are those people share your interests. If women are taking those courses, chances are those women share your interests, at least in that class. You've already got something to talk about. You already know that they at least have an interest in that class. Here are some class possibilities. Now, these are just suggestions. If they're not for you, then don't do them. But if you can bring yourself to do them, or better yet, if you actually have an interest in them, or others that you think of while I'm saying this list, then by all means do them. How about a beginning Spanish class, if you don't already speak Spanish? How about a cooking class, photography class, real estate class, dancing class, art class, yoga class? Okay, those last three are really good. Dancing classes, art classes, and yoga classes. Those are places that women go. And if you have even a remote interest in any of those, then you should go. And it never hurts to learn how to dance. And it never hurts to open up yourself artistically. And it never hurts to learn yoga and get physically fit. So, if you have any interest whatsoever in any of those things, go to them. Okay, what about bars? Not the ideal place to meet people, but there are women at bars. And a lot of women at bars are interested in meeting men. That's why they're there, in many cases, not all, but in many cases. So bars can be a wonderful place to meet women. Seminars. Go to a seminar on a topic you're interested in. If you see a woman there, she's probably interested in that topic too, or she wouldn't be there. Now, if she's there with her husband, then you're out of luck. But if she's a single woman, and she's there at the seminar, and you're there at the seminar, then you have something in common. Malls. Go to the mall. If you don't like the mall, then just make yourself do it. Because women, in many cases, like malls, and they like shopping at malls. Go there. Go to the mall. Local coffee shops. Go to the local coffee shops. Bookstores. Now, you need to be a little careful when going to bookstores and any of these other places because you don't want to seem like you're lurking, looking for women. If you go to a bookstore and you're talking to 10 women in an hour at the bookstore, you might get reported to the manager, and your career of picking up women at that bookstore might be a little short-lived. So you want to make sure that you are not overdoing it at any of these places. But if you go to a bookstore, maybe go to a different bookstore every day, and you spend maybe a half hour there, you can see who's there. You can say, what do you think about this book? You see how that question gives the opportunity for an elaborate answer? I didn't say, have you read this book? or do you know anything about this book? I've asked for more detailed information about the book. So that's what you need to do. Get them talking in detail about the book or about whatever it is. If it's a coffee shop, you can ask a question about the coffee. What do you think about this particular blend of coffee, for example? Make up a question. Make it a question that has a more detailed answer so the conversation won't die when they say yes or no and answer your question. They're going to give a more detailed answer. We're going to talk a lot more about conversation in the modules 4, 5, and 6. But for right now, realize these places are great places to meet women. What about dating websites? There are lots of dating websites. You can find one. You can join one. I think that you can join them for next to nothing. I think that they don't really charge much money at all, and you can join them. There are also services, dating services, that are run. I have a friend who runs a dating service in Beverly Hills, and I think they charge, I think it's like $30,000 to take on a new client. I don't really think that you need to do that. I think that's for people who don't understand anything about hypnotic pickup methods at all. That's, in my mind, ridiculous. Even though it's a friend, it's still ridiculous. I think that anyone who pays that has just thrown in the towel and given up and said, here, you handle it. That doesn't really make any sense to me. I'm opposed to that. But I'm not opposed to dating sites because they put you in positions to have opportunities. And opportunities are what you need. You do not need to spend your life savings on an opportunity. What about speed dating? Speed dating is a wonderful way to meet women because you have a few minutes in front of a woman and then you're on to the next woman and you're taking notes and she's taking notes and you're deciding if you like each other. If there's a connection, you follow up. If there's not, you don't. So speed dating is a wonderful thing for you to do. If you did all of those things that I just mentioned, went to all of those places and said hi and did speed dating and all of that, honestly, you wouldn't need anything else. You will eventually just by probability alone, meet a woman who you are compatible with. That's the way it is. However, I want you to be armed. I want you to speed up the process even more, to make yourself even more powerful. So I want you to continue this program and really get the powerful hypnotic techniques that I'm going to share with you later on and really work on reinventing yourself, redefining yourself, realizing who you are and who you're not, realizing who you're after and who you're not after. So when you're trying to get a date and when you're on the first date, it's very important to attract the woman to you. And I can't emphasize this enough. It doesn't matter how attracted you are to the woman. All that matters is how attracted she is to you. In fact, you will realize that there is a power dynamic. Perhaps one of you is more attracted to the other than they are to you. And that could change over time. This is not set in stone. People are organic organisms. They change constantly, every moment. So realize that there's a power dynamic. And it's important to attract the woman that you're trying to pick up. To attract, you make yourself attractive. Attracting does not mean that you throw yourself at her feet and start telling her how wonderful, amazing, and beautiful she is. That's not part of attraction. That would be more like begging. And that's not what you're after. What you're after is making yourself a very attractive person, and you're going to attract her. One of the ways you do this, of course, is by being confident, not hesitating. If there's something you're not sure about, go ahead and do it anyway. Women look for that. They look for men who are not confident. They're trying to find little holes in the wall that is your solid, confident personality. They're looking for little holes in that. Can they find any? One of the ways you reveal them is by being hesitant. If you're going to do something, just do it. If you're going to jump off of something, just jump off. Don't start to do it and then stop. Don't do it halfway. Do it all the way, whatever it is. You need to make sure that you're confident and not hesitant. If you're going to kiss her and you lean in a little bit as if you're going to kiss her all the way and then you don't follow through, well, if that was your plan all along, that's fine. I think it's wonderful, but if your plan was to kiss her and then you stopped halfway, why'd you do that? You hesitated, and you just lost some power. You just changed the power dynamic. Don't do that. Follow through. You want to be romantic, not overly romantic. Doesn't mean that you're sending her flowers to work every day. In fact, that's the opposite of what you want to do. You can send flowers on occasion after you've established the relationship, but initially that kind of thing can be seen as being overly needy and trying too hard. So you want to avoid that sort of thing. Okay, so conversation starters. We're going to talk more about this with specific conversation techniques that you can use hypnotically. And if you want even more techniques, you can get my course called Ultimate Conversational Hypnosis by Steve G. Jones. But I want you to at least realize for now that conversations start with the word hi, and you can say simple things to start conversations to take them to the next level. You can ask for directions. You can ask where is a good place to eat nearby. You can ask where the closest coffee shop is and so forth. Body language. What's important in body language? What are the do's and don'ts of body language when we're talking about getting the first date and being on the first date? Well, you want to make eye contact. That doesn't mean stare. That means look at her when she's talking. And then, of course, look away sometimes. Slowly glance around her face. Glance at her. Let your glance linger and then look away. Smile. Now, I want you to look at yourself in the mirror and go ahead and do your smile. Go ahead and get yourself in front of a mirror and do your smile. Look at it. How does it look? Does it look genuine? It should. Make sure it doesn't look forced. You know, like in those pictures of families where everyone's smiling and you can tell if it's a big family that a couple of people don't really want to smile. Just the photographer made them smile. Don't be those people. don't do that smile. It's not the forced smile that looks like you're physically ill and you're forcing yourself to smile and you'd rather be doing anything but smiling. No, it has to be a natural smile. How do we get that natural smile? By focusing on things that make us happy, make us feel good, make us feel warm, that make us feel like we're in a good mood. Work on your smile. Work on a natural-looking smile. If you need help, ask a woman. Ask her what looks natural and what doesn't. If you're talking to a woman, you need to slightly lean in toward her as she's talking. You need to nod and show her that you're interested. Not nodding all the time, just nodding occasionally. Showing her that you're interested, you're engaged in the conversation. That's what you should do. What about what you shouldn't do? Well, like it or not, you should probably avoid winking. Winking comes off as very cheesy when you're talking to a woman. It comes across as the slick car salesperson. Now, if you are a car salesperson, you may want to let go of winking if you're doing that, and also not take offense to me saying that, but you know what I mean. It comes off as slick. It comes off as cheesy. Avoid winking. And that kind of thing says, hey, baby, how you doing? That's not what you want to come across as when you're talking to a woman. You want to come across as more genuine than that. Also avoid staring. Avoid the eyebrow raise, you know, raising one eyebrow, trying to look slick, trying to look cool. Those things come across as cheesy. Anything that you can think of that has to do with trying to look cool or trying to look slick is probably transparent. There are enough TV shows and movies now that make fun of all of that women are wise to it. And they don't really consider that genuine. And let's face it, if you're doing any of those things, raising your eyebrow and saying, hey, baby, and winking and, you know, making that kind of sound, all of that is in the realm of cheesiness. And you need to really let go of that. Okay, now you need to pay attention to her also. Pay attention to her body language. What is she doing? Good signs, things that she can do that are good, that you want to look for, are playing with her hair. If she's playing with her hair, that means she's interested in you. Playing with a piece of jewelry, that's good also. That also shows interest. Palms open. If you can see her palms, that means that she's being honest with you and feels comfortable, kind of like a dog when a dog lies down on its back and kind of just, they're there and you can see their belly and everything. It's kind of that type of thing. It's a subconscious message that says, hey, I trust you. You can go ahead and be in charge of me. I trust what you're going to do and you're not going to hurt me. Everything's fine. Well, the way humans show that is by showing their palms. That shows that they are trustworthy and so forth. It's not the exact same as with a dog. We're certainly not comparing humans to dogs exactly. However, it is very similar. If they're willing to expose that part of themselves, their palms, it's sort of like a dog's belly. So you want to look for that. Now, if they don't show their palms, don't think that they're hiding things and they're being negative and they're not interested. But if they do show their palms, consider that a good sign. If she's checking her lipstick, if she's looking at the way she looks and making sure her lipstick is on properly, that's a good sign because that means that she cares about the way she looks for you. She's concerned about how she's coming across. What are bad signs? Things that are negative. Things that you might want to look at and say, maybe she's not that interested. Well, hunched shoulders. She's kind of slumped over. Maybe she's a little too relaxed because she really doesn't care about what you were saying. Flaring nostrils. Look out for that. Flaring nostrils. The nostrils subtly flaring out and then back in. Watch for that. That's a subconscious sign. That means there's a lack of interest or maybe even some hostility there. All right, so let's take a look at flirting. Now, you may think flirting only happens to get a woman and they don't have to do it anymore. I'm telling you that flirting needs to happen as long as you want to be in a relationship with that woman. The minute you stop being flirtatious in your relationship is the minute you need to be concerned about your relationship, that she may be starting to wander or something because you're no longer being flirtatious. Always be flirtatious from the moment that you meet her until your last breath together on this planet. Always be flirtatious with her. It's a way to maintain interest. Even if you're married, you need to maintain that flirtatious attitude. That means being playful, being enthusiastic, and realize that when you're getting the first date or you're on the first date, flirting leads to her saying yes for the first date. It also leads to getting the second date. Being flirtatious, getting her in a good mood, showing her you're a good-spirited person. Women respond to their emotions. Women are emotional creatures. Even if you're not perceiving that in the woman you're with, they are emotional creatures. They are driven by emotions. So make her feel happy to be with you. Make her feel happy to see you. That's what we call in neurolinguistic programming, creating an association. Neurolinguistic programming, or NLP, is a system that was created to help you get what you want. And as you're going to find as we go through this course, it's very helpful in dating. One of the things you can learn from NLP is that you want her to have a positive association with you. How can you do that? By making sure that when she's with you, she's laughing and smiling. That way, she thinks of you as the person who makes her laugh and smile. She has a positive association with you. If she's with you and she's thinking negative things, you know, you're the person she gets upset with and cries with and so forth, what good is that? What good is that for you? You want to make sure that you're having a good time and that she's having fun with you. Flirting is, therefore, a way to anchor her to you, to create that association or anchor to you. You equal fun. You equal happiness. She is going to see that. So how do you flirt? Well, you ask her a lot of questions. You tell stories. Have a go-to story, a good one. Have a funny story. If you don't have one, get one. Get a funny story that you can use. In my Ultimate Conversational Hypnosis course, I spend a whole module on what to say, and I give you a few jokes and so forth. If you want that, fine. If you want to get your own, fine. Maybe you already know a story. Maybe you can have someone tell you a story. Get a story and memorize it and use that as your story. It's your funny story. It creates the association between you and a good time, you and funniness. Also, in flirting, tell her about your experiences. Tell her about what you have done. You can also flirt through emails and text messages or whatever technology is around by the time you listen to this recording. Compliment her. That's part of flirting, making eye contact, not staring. But making eye contact, as we've talked about, is part of flirting. Be aware of her feelings and desires. Be aware of who you're talking to. Get into her head. Find out what's going on with her. Be aware of what she's feeling and what she wants. And then you can use that in the conversation, and that's part of flirting. Realize that when you're being funny, there's a difference between joking and insulting. You need to make sure that you're on the joking side. You're not making fun of her. You're not laughing at her. You're not having other people laugh at her. You're not laughing at her expense. You are joking. And there's a difference between joking and insulting. So make sure that none of your jokes are aimed at her. How about some tips for success? Ask her open-ended questions about the things that you know she likes to talk about. Tell me about your experience with the monks in Tibet. Be an active listener. Make sure that you convey to her that you're listening. And the way we do this is by body language again, by nodding, by acknowledging what she's saying. When you're getting the first date or on the first date, don't invade her space. Don't move in too quickly on her. Give her own space. You want to make sure that you're not scaring her in any way. When you talk to her, describe your emotions about the things you're talking about. Don't just report that you went to the Himalayas and hiked up a mountain. How did you feel? Did you feel energetic? Did you feel good? Did you feel scared? Did you feel enthusiastic? Did you feel great to be part of a group that's also hiking the Himalayas? How did you feel? Use emotion when talking about things. Remember, women relate to emotions. They don't want to hear how great and wonderful you are. They want to know that you're a person with feelings. That's the way she is. She's a person with feelings. Have you ever wondered why women have girlfriends? Women have friends that they go and talk to? It's because they speak the same language. They share. They talk about emotions. They talk about their relationship in terms of emotions. That's what they do. They share with other women their emotions. Realize you're dealing with an emotional person. You need to talk her language, the language of emotions. Doesn't mean you need to make everything emotional. It doesn't mean you need to start crying or anything like that. It just means that you need to blend in emotions when you talk about something. When you're describing something, color it a little bit with emotion. Okay, when you're being funny, try to avoid putting yourself down. A little bit of self-deprecation is good. Too much is going to work against you. Saying that, oh, I'm just the stupidest person in the world sometimes, you know, that's fine. Calling yourself stupid every 5 minutes is not fine. Putting yourself down is something that you need to avoid. So it doesn't fall under the realm of being funny anymore. It falls under the realm of losing you some serious points. Okay, so we're talking about the first date, getting the first date, being on the first date. Before you ask her out, know where you want to go. Have a place to suggest. If she suggests somewhere else, then that's fine. You may want to make a compromise, or you may want to go where she says. That's fine. But have something in mind. Have a specific time and place in mind. What about rejection? It's going to happen. You need to deal with it. Remember, it's a numbers game. The more calls you make, the more sales you make. That's what they say in the sales world. You need to realize that if you fall off a horse, get on another one. If that train isn't for you, there's going to be another one that comes along. If that bus isn't your bus, another one's going to come along. Remember the poker example that I gave you? Tossing your hand? Well, guess what? She can toss her hand too, and you might be her hand. She can toss you. Now, you're going to learn techniques that are going to actually attract anyone to you. So if you want to take control, you can actually get anyone you want using the hypnosis techniques you're going to learn later on. But you need to realize that if you are having to use a lot of techniques all the time, maybe this isn't the ideal person for you. So use some common sense, use some reality, use some fairness in your judgment, and realize that rejection is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, because when you're rejected, you can go on to the next person. You're that much closer to meeting the person of your dreams or meeting the person who's going to be good for you. So when it comes to the first date, what do women like to talk about? Well, they like to talk about traveling, food, clothing, the arts like movies, books, etc. Make sure that you've seen some movies and read some books recently. Get active in your life. They like to talk about current events. They like to talk about celebrities. Read something. Understand what celebrities do. Read celebrity publications. Brush up on these things, things that women are interested in. What about openers when you're talking to a woman? Well, how about these? What do you think of? Blank. How do you feel about? Blank. What do you like to do in your free time? You notice these questions require fairly elaborate answers. They're not just yes or no answers. Where do you like to go when you travel? What are you passionate about? And remember, she might ask you the same thing, but aha, you're passionate about something because you've already started doing things. You have some passions at least developing. What do you not want to talk about? Well, don't be negative. Don't come across as a negative person. Avoid negative talk. Avoid rambling on. Keep the conversation going, but don't ramble. Don't answer questions with, I don't know, and just let it die at that. If you don't know something, that's fine, but you want to say, I don't know, and then offer something else. Don't let the conversation die. Don't talk about past relationships. Also, if she talks about past relationships, you might want to think maybe she's still hung up on a past relationship. Don't talk about politics, of course. Don't talk about sad topics. What do you want to do on the first date? Well, always suggest when you're talking about the date something to do or somewhere to go. Have something in mind. Have a goal in mind, somewhere you want to get. Think of something fun and exciting, especially if this is a girl who you think gets a lot of date opportunities. Think of something different. What do you think she hasn't done? How about parasailing? Maybe she hasn't done that lately or ever. How about bungee jumping? How about jumping out of an airplane? At least if she says no, then you can move on to something a little more sane, but you've shown her that you're adventurous. Going to a place such as a coffee shop can kind of take the pressure off, so you're not inviting her to a bar or to a restaurant. You are inviting her to a coffee shop, so something like that, something more along the lines of something casual and relaxed can be good. There's not the pressure of, I'm taking you to dinner and giving you drinks, so now what? You can avoid all that pressure by doing something like inviting her to a coffee shop. And as you're in the first date, look for signs that she's interested. And remember, you need to set up the second date on the first date. Once you're on the first date, go ahead and set up the second date. So you've got the first date, you're on the first date, fine. Now what? Set up the second date. And when you talk about it, don't say, would you like to go out again? Can we please go out again? No, that's not what you say to a woman. You say, well, next time, I think you should pick where we eat. Or next time, I think we should go here. What do you think about that? So the question isn't, do you think we should go out again? The question is, what do you think about that? We are going out again. I just want to know what you think about it. Okay, so taking these very helpful techniques and this helpful information, I want you to go ahead and make this information yours. We've talked about a lot of things, so I want you to do a little bit of homework. Go ahead and look at yourself in the mirror. See what you can change. Go ahead and get involved. Get involved with some groups. Start paying attention to your body language and start paying attention to the body language of women. Develop a flirty side to you. In fact, make yourself flirty. Make yourself a flirt. Just one big flirt. You can be a big flirt from now on. That means you're happy, you're fun to be with, you ask questions, you're actually genuinely interested in other people. Not just women, but you're interested in people. See, if you're always going around trying to talk to women, you're going to look like someone who's always going around trying to talk to women. A flirty person, a fun person, is happy to talk to everyone. They're just a happy, wonderful person. But then they're able to focus on the women that they're interested in. And I want you to go get that first date. If you haven't already done it, I want you to go ahead and get a recent first date. And I want you to have that first date by the time you listen to the next module. Module 3 is on the second date and beyond. So do your homework. Just have some fun. Go find a woman. Have a date. And report back here to Module 3, where we're going to talk about the second date and beyond. Most importantly, have fun with this. I am Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day.